Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for the Health Report and Explorations, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. Today on the program, we report on the recent meeting of 200 bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. They decided not to welcome homosexuals and divorced people into the church. Then, we will report on the quick melting of ice shelves in the Antarctic. Those are our subjects today on As It Is on VOA. Leaders of the Roman Catholic Church have decided not to approve a plan to welcome homosexuals into the church. 200 bishops from around the world met for 2 weeks at Vatican City. They released a final statement on Saturday at the end of the meeting. The meeting is called a synod. A document released after the first week of the synod suggested the Catholic Church would be more welcoming to people who have same-sex love relationships. It said the Church should accept and value homosexuals and should give them what it called a welcoming home. But the final document says only that homosexuals should, in its words, be welcomed with respect and sensitivity. It said that acting against gays is to be avoided. Conservatives, both inside and outside the church, had strongly criticized the earlier document. They called for major changes in it. This showed a large difference of opinion between conservatives and liberals in the church. Some observers called the early document a revolution and a pastoral earthquake. The earlier document was very different from past Catholic statements on homosexuality. Those statements often strongly criticized same-sex love relationships. Instead, it said homosexuals had gifts and qualities to offer the Christian community. And it said homosexual relationships give aid and support to people in them. It asked if the Catholic faith could accept gays and recognize positive aspects of people living together before they are married. The Catholic Church teaches that homosexual feelings are not sinful, but it says homosexual acts are sinful. It opposes divorce, gay marriage, and polygamy, people being married to more than one person. And it does not approve of people living together or having sexual intercourse before they are married. The synod was not called to change official church policy. But some people inside the church and others wanted the church to change how it serves people who are gay, divorced, or living with someone before being married. And they wanted to make the language of the church less critical of homosexuals. Church documents written before the election of Pope Francis in 2013 had strongly criticized homosexuals. Documents were released on Thursday from 10 groups at the synod. They showed that many bishops wanted to make changes to the earlier statement. Pope Francis was believed to support the earlier document, but parts of it did not receive the two-thirds vote needed to be included in the final statement. The bishops also rejected a plan that would have let Catholics who had divorced and remarried outside the Church to receive Holy Communion. They believe this ceremony of bread and wine represents the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The final document from the Synod will be studied by Catholics around the world as the 1.2 billion members of the faith prepare for more changes next year. That is when another, larger synod is to meet at the Vatican. Antarctica is covered with ice that extends past the land and floats on the sea in thick shelves. But those ice shelves are melting quickly. As they melt, the sea level rises, increasing the risk of damaging floods. Scientists have developed a new way to monitor the temperature of the ice shelf and how fast it is melting. They are using a fiber optic cable, like the one connected to your television or home computer. But this cable is as thin as a human hair, and it is covered with steel to protect it from ocean pressure. Ann Ball reports.
Scott Tyler teaches at the University of Nevada in Reno. Professor Tyler is a specialist in hydrology, the movement and quality of water on Earth and other planets. He described the work with fiber optic cable in the journal Research Letters. Professor Tyler said, researchers set up a base camp on the Ross ice shelf. They made a hole in the ice 200 meters deep. Then they extended the cable 700 meters down into the hole. He says the scientists had to work fast.
The ice shelf temperature is as cold as minus 23 degrees C, so it's very cold ice, so the ocean wanted to freeze. And so we had about at minimum 20 minutes of time to get everything down this little tiny 50 millimeter diameter hole into the ocean before it would freeze solid. And we did.
Researchers connected the other end of the cable into equipment on the surface. Images began to appear on the computer screen of what was happening down below. The researchers also learned how cold it was at the other end of the cable. He added that researchers could operate the equipment remotely. In other words, they did not have to be on the ice shelf.
That's right. We can talk to it by satellite modem. So satellite telephone, probably a little bit like when they're working the Mars rover. It takes a long time to get any information back and forth, but work generally most of the time.
The National Science Foundation provided financing for the project. It proved that the technology works. Mr. Tyler says he hopes to create more fiber optic stations on ice shelves. While satellites can show changes from space, he said fiber optics can record those changes under ice. I'm Ann Ball.
That's our program for today. I'm Christopher Cruz. Please join us again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of As It Is, here on the Voice of America.
The Health Report is next, followed by Explorations. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health Report. Researchers are hurrying to develop effective treatments and vaccines for Ebola. The disease has killed more than 4,500 people. Most of the victims lived in one of three West African countries: Guinea, Liberia, or Sierra Leone. In the United States, the government's process for approving new drugs can often take years. But treatments for Ebola are moving quickly through the approval process. Before U.S. government officials approve a new drug, researchers must perform detailed scientific tests, what are called clinical trials. The tests must be done on human beings to show that the experimental treatment is both safe and effective. These drug trials usually involve thousands of people and can take many years to complete. But there are exceptions. Thomas Geisbert is a microbiologist at the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston. He says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration can make an exception through what he calls its animal rule. This enables researchers to get faster approval when faced with a deadly disease like the Ebola virus. Mr. Geisbert helped develop what is known as the VSV Ebola vaccine. This vaccine recently moved to human clinical trials at the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research in Maryland. The tests involve 20 healthy volunteers. Mr. Geisbert says that the animal rule requires only that scientists demonstrate that a treatment is effective in an animal model of human disease. This time, he says, the human model of disease was monkeys.
And then in conjunction with that, you do a conventional phase one trial. So that's just a study where you put a vaccine or a treatment into a healthy human volunteer just to make sure that in, you know, normal healthy people that your vaccine or your drug does not cause any disease or serious adverse event.
Another experimental drug, called ZMapp, went straight from the laboratory to Ebola patients. The Food and Drug Administration also bypassed human safety trials to treat a handful of patients in the United States. Many researchers are hard at work to develop effective treatments and vaccines for Ebola. Canadian researchers made the VSV vaccine, which is now being tested in Maryland. The British drug company, GlaxoSmithKline, has made another promising but experimental vaccine. The safety of that vaccine is currently being tested in Mali. The West African nation shares a border with Guinea, where the virus has infected many people. As of now, no Ebola cases have been reported in Mali. Researchers say the promising vaccine will move into a more advanced human testing early next year. They will use these tests to show if the vaccine is safe for human use and if it is effective in preventing.
Explorations, a program in special English by the Voice of America. Today, Richard Rail and Tony Riggs tell the story of American astronomer Edwin Hubble. He changed our ideas about the universe and how it developed. Edwin Hubble made his most important discoveries in the 1920s. Today, other astronomers continue the work he began. Many of them are using the Hubble Space Telescope that is named after him.
Edwin Powell Hubble was born in 1889 in Marshfield, Missouri. He spent his early years in the state of Kentucky. Then he moved with his family to Chicago, Illinois. He attended the University of Chicago. He studied mathematics and astronomy. Hubble was a good student. He was a good athlete, too. He was a member of the University of Chicago championship basketball team in 1909. He also was an excellent boxer. Several people urged him to train for the World Heavyweight Boxing Championship after college. Instead, he decided to continue his studies. He went to Queen's College at Oxford, England. At Oxford, Hubble studied law. He was interested in British common law because his family had come to America from England many years before. He spent 3 years at Oxford. In 1913, Hubble returned to the United States. He opened a law office in Louisville, Kentucky. After a short time, however, he decided he did not want to be a lawyer. He returned to the University of Chicago. There, once again, he studied astronomy.
Hubble watched the night sky with instruments at the university's Yerkes Observatory. His research involved a major question astronomers could not answer. What are nebulae? The astronomical term nebulae, Hubble explained, had come down through the centuries. It was the name given to permanent cloudy areas in the sky outside our solar system. Some astronomers thought nebulae were part of our Milky Way galaxy. Others thought they were island universes farther away in space. In his research paper, Hubble said the issue could be decided only by more powerful instruments, and those instruments had not yet been developed.
In 1917, the United States was fighting in World War I in Europe. Edwin Hubble joined the American Army and served in France. Earlier, astronomer George Ellery Hale had offered Hubble a position at the Mount Wilson Observatory in Southern California. When Hubble returned to the United States after World War I, he accepted Hale's offer. Hubble was 30 years old. He was just beginning the work that would make him famous.
In his first observations from Mount Wilson, Hubble used a telescope with a mirror 152 centimeters across. He studied objects within our own galaxy. And he made an important discovery about nebulae. Hubble said the light that appeared to come from nebulae really came from stars near the nebulae. The nebulae, he said, were clouds of atoms and dust. They were not hot enough, like stars, to give off light. Soon after, Hubble began working with a larger and more powerful telescope at Mount Wilson. Its mirror was 250 centimeters across. It was the most powerful telescope in the world for 25 years. It had the power Hubble needed to make his major discoveries.
From 1922 on, Edwin Hubble began examining more and more distant objects. His first great discovery was made when he recognized a Cepheid variable star. It was in the outer area of the great nebula called Andromeda. Cepheid variable stars are stars whose brightness changes at regular periods. An astronomer at Harvard College, Henrietta Leavitt, had discovered that these periods of brightness could be used to measure the star's distance from Earth. Hubble made the measurements. They showed that the Andromeda Nebula lay far outside our Milky Way galaxy. Hubble's discovery ended a long dispute. He proved wrong those who believed nebulae lay inside the Milky Way. And he proved that nebulae were galaxies themselves. Astronomers now agree that far distant galaxies do exist.
Hubble then began to observe more details about galaxies. He studied their shape and brightness. By 1925, he had made enough observations to say that the universe is organized into galaxies of many shapes and sizes. As stars differ from one another, he said, so do galaxies. Some are spiral galaxies, like the Milky Way and Andromeda. They have a center and arms of matter that seem to circle the center like a pinwheel. Others are shaped like baseballs or eggs. A few have no special shape.
Hubble proposed a system to describe galaxies by their shape. His system still is used today. He also showed that galaxies are similar in the kinds of bright objects they contain. All galaxies, he said, are related to each other, much as members of a family are related to each other. In the late 1920s, Hubble studied the movement of galaxies through space. His investigation led to the most important astronomical discovery of the 20th century, the expanding universe.
Earlier observations about the movement of galaxies had been done by V.M. Silfer. He discovered that galaxies are moving away from Earth at speeds between 300 kilometers a second and 1,800 kilometers a second. Hubble understood the importance of Silfer's findings. He developed a plan for measuring both the distance and speed of as many galaxies as possible. With his assistant at Mount Wilson, Milton Humason, Hubble measured the movement of galaxies. The two men did this by studying what Hubble called the red shift. It is also known as the Doppler effect. The Doppler effect explains changes in the length of light waves or sound waves as they move toward you or away from you. Light waves from an object speeding away from you will stretch into longer wavelengths. They appear red. Light waves from an object speeding toward you will have shorter wavelengths. They appear blue.
Observations of 46 galaxies showed Hubble that the galaxies were traveling away from Earth. The observations also showed that the speed was linked directly to the galaxy's distance from Earth. Hubble discovered that the farther away a galaxy is, the greater its speed. This scientific rule is called Hubble's Law. Hubble's discovery meant a major change in our idea of the universe. The universe had not been quiet and unchanging since the beginning of time, as many people had thought. It was expanding. And that, Hubble said, meant it probably began with an explosion of unimaginable force. The explosion often is called the Big Bang.
Hubble's work did not end with this discovery. He continued to examine galaxies. He continued to gain new knowledge about them. Astronomers from all over the world went to study with him. Hubble left the Mount Wilson Observatory during World War II. He did research for the United States War Department. He returned after the war. Then he spent much of his time planning a new, much larger telescope in Southern California. The telescope was completed in 1949. It had a mirror 500 centimeters across. It was named after astronomer George Ellery Hale.
Edwin Hubble was the first person to use the Hale telescope. He died in 1953 while preparing to spend 4 nights looking through the telescope at the sky. Hubble's work led to new research on the birth of the universe. One astronomer said scientists have been filling in the details ever since. And he said there is a long way to go.
This special English program was written by Marilyn Rice Cristiano. Your narrators were Tony Riggs and Richard Rail. This is Shirley Griffith. Listen again next week for another Explorations program on The Voice of America.